So it's Tuesday, the 16th, Tuesday evening.
And we have gathered.
Maybe we should pray a little bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I earlier, I was sitting and kind of had an hour before I was going to come, so I just kind of felt, I just meditated, read the word some, but I just was kind of overwhelmed to just pray for the Lord to come and be in our presence tonight, for Jesus to be in our presence and for the Spirit of God to be in us and on us, and just that we could have a communion with Him tonight and in our discussions, that truth would come forth. So, Lord, we just ask You for that presence.
Yes.
Ask You for Your anointing.
Yes.
And anoint the listener's ears also, Lord.
Yes.
And thank You. Thank You for what You're doing.
Amen.
Continue. We pray You continue, that You don't give up on us or forsake us. Be long-suffering. And yes. Let us try not to abuse Your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
That's right. You know, and when He's here so consistently, it's almost like, well, of course. And that's not right.
Right.
That's not right.
That is exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
Should not take God for granted.
No.
So.
We can take Him for granted, but you know what? I'm not so sure that He don't want us to.
Well, there's a fine line.
Maybe in a certain sense, huh?
Yeah.
We should take Him for granted and have faith in Him.
Yeah.
Not necessarily take Him for granted that there's going to be an anointing.
Because that's in a way, that's faith.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You have to have faith. So.
Speaking of faith, I heard this little scripture in Hebrews 11, and so I read it tonight, and it says, "And the things that you can see were formed by what you can't."
Yeah.
And I mean, we've mentioned that before, but I don't know why it just hit me that. So people want to know how the world became whatever. Well, you ain't going to see it, and you're not going to figure it out, because right. God's invisible and He did it. So it just struck me. I thought, it's. And then I went and read a little more about faith, because that's the chapter where he's actually goes through all the faith people, in the 12 and stuff. But yeah.
You know what is really strange is Hebrews chapter 11, where it talks a lot about faith. And then it says that by faith, or through faith, we understand. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait a minute. What do you mean you understand by faith? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Mm. That makes no sense whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And yet our experience is like that. But we are gaining understanding, and it's a faith exercise.
We're gaining understanding by this. Uh-huh. Because we're listening to it. After a while, it becomes a real positive approach to the thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's faith. Through faith, we understand. Now, through faith, how do you understand through faith?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to this mind. But it makes sense to something else that's forming mm-hmm. in me.
The last verse of that chapter, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Mm. Those that came before us in faith, God has provided something even better for us, so that we can be made perfect with them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how it's
I think so, too. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you think of understanding as kind of light shone on a place that was dark, it's lit up now, so you understand or something in a sense, then certainly faith provides or or is an important element of getting that light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even the same scripture that Keith quoted about the world framed by...
You know what? That's the same scripture that I said. I said the back half, you said the front.
Right.
It's all one verse.
Mm. Anyway. But, you know, by faith, we understand, but I think that a lot of times you can replace the word understand with believe. You know, we believe. Because if it's not by faith that you understand, how else do you understand? Because you can't understand it, really. If you try to figure the atoms and the molecules and the stuff, you can't. So it's got to be by faith. And the definition of faith is one of my favorite things in the Bible. And at the same time, I can't quote it.
Well, you know, I think part of it there, too, is by faith, you believe he will give you understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And right. That's what he's developed in
right.
us. We've realized that, hey, he wants to give us truth. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is listen and be his little children and have a love for the truth. And then our faith grows enough to know that he will give us understanding mm-hmm. and truth. Yeah. You know, probably the same thing, but...
I know, but see, the faith that he gives us, you know, Jesus, the Hebrews or something, he says, you know, faith comes by hearing God's word. So I like to emphasize the word only. I don't know if... The only way that you get faith is through God's word. You know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You know, I know that we've said, you know, well, I've seen this and I've seen that increases our faith and stuff. But I don't know that it increases our faith. It just is more of a confirmation confirmation maybe of our faith. But the true faith comes by hearing God's word. You know. And I know I'm all totally open for correction or debate or whatever. Maybe the faith comes by other ways. But, you know, it doesn't... I don't know if there's any other places that says that you can get faith by any other ways but by hearing the word of God. Sometimes we think that our faith will increase if we could see something or if we saw something or if we can make something happen.
But Jesus, in the period of is it a parable? That's what it is about Lazarus and the rich man.
Yes,
it's kind of a parable. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have to have anything about it other than that, do we? I mean, it's just parable. We don't see anybody else in Scripture where it talks about Lazarus and the rich man, do we?
No.
Well, anyway, in that thing, he makes a strange statement, and this rich man wanted to. Lazarus to rise from the dead, and it would affect his brothers. And Jesus said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, the word of God, if they don't believe the word of God, they're not going to believe if they see somebody raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And so it shows us, it gives us a picture of the value and the power of the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. What is the definition of faith again?
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen.
Yeah.
Is that what
it's all 11:1. No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible.
Right.
Mm. See, it's all right there in those first three verses.
But when you think of the substance, I mean, a substance, I would imagine that the definition of substance is something tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And evidence, I mean, evidence, you know, you can't go against evidence.
It's like tangible. Also.
You know what I mean? And yeah. So it's, for us, faith is actually something that you can feel and touch and have. Because it's a substance, and it's the evidence, and you can't.
It's not saying it that way in the verse, though. It says, "For the evidence of things not seen."
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I mean, it's like something you could touch.
Faith. Well,
the substance is, it is, you are converting, through faith, you're converting this thing that is off in the future mm-hmm. into substance.
Something you
it's
can...
It's not tangible, right.
What is it? Will you read it again?
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Okay.
The evidence of things not seen.
Okay, yes. But, okay, so faith is a substance of things hoped for. So, mm-hmm. whatever it is a substance.
It becomes tangible.
That's what I'm saying.
It makes the intangible tangible.
Well, right. It becomes tangible in your spirit.
It does, yeah. Yes.
Right. Not necessarily what you can see.
No.
Right.
Yeah. No.
But it is substance.
It is substance.
Yeah. So it gives you substance for us to have to hope for.
So here we're getting into a real major area right now. And this is good. I'm glad that we did. Down here where it says, you know, without faith it is impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. And the next verse, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God, a thing is not seen, and yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Okay, so what do we got? So here, he hires a big crew to help him, mm-hmm. Noah, and in 3 days they have an ark built. You might be able to do it in today's economy, but you couldn't do it then. So 120 years he worked on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that faith?
That's faith.
You know what I mean? There's the evidence not seen, and he knows what's coming. He knows that God has told him to do it. And the thing about it that is amazing is that he convinces his family to help him. And they must have been jeered and for all this long period of time by people who were watching the thing and saying, what's that stupid Noah doing now? Look at him. Listen to it. Couldn't we get together and have him stop that noise he's making, pounding on the boards and, you know what I mean? Isn't there some way we can stop all this?
Didn't he take 100 years to build the ark?
Right, yeah, 120 years.
120 years, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 120 years, and you go every day.
But would that be a lot of pounding?
Well, sure, there'd be a lot of pots, a lot of everything. But,
yeah.
But I mean, what I think it is it's a lot of faith. I mean,
right, it is.
Because
he was
building a boat for rain, which he, you know, they never had seen.
Especially as big a boat as
he was building. Yeah, right.
It's like, come on.
Remember that song that I used to sing with the boys? And the Lord looked down from his window in the sky, and he said, I've created man, but I can't remember why. Nothing but fighting since creation day. I'm going to send a little water and wash them all away. I mean, it doesn't necessarily line up with the scripture, but that's the song we used to sing. And it says that the Lord came down to look around the spell, and he saw Mr. Noah, who was behaving mighty well. And, I mean, that's the way the song went. And he told Noah, he says, to build a house, so you get Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and build yourself a boat. And Noah said, Lord, I don't believe I could. And the Lord said, get some sturdy gopher wood. You never know what you can do till you try. Build it 50 cubits high and 30 cubits wide. Or either the way or the way around. Remember that, Chuck? But anyway.
It's quite a way to reward virtue and faith, isn't it? Make the poor man build an ark for 120 years. Woo.
Meanwhile, all these people are watching.
Yeah, right.
And we see a scripture in Peter where it says, in the days of the building of the ark, they stood and those are the ones that Jesus went and talked to in the spirit. You know, there's a scripture that says,
yeah, preach to them. And
in the days where the ark was preparing.
Right.
You know, I just saw something. So So he had to wait 120 years. Abraham and Elizabeth waited 100 years before they had a child, wasn't
Sarah?
It? Sarah. Yeah. Well, and even Elizabeth and Zachariah.
Yeah, right. Too. That's right.
So here we are. So we've went 20 years, and people are saying, where's the fruit of that?
Yeah, where's the promise of his coming?
Right. Well, just keep having faith, guys.
I see it as so characteristic.
Yeah.
I really see it as characteristic.
As with the Lord, a day
is a thousand years.
Is a thousand years.
Yeah. But there is a testing.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over in the Bible, by the passage of time, there's a testing in that. I still think of a lady with the issue of blood for 14 years.
Yeah. I mean, to take the percentage of the people, it's not very many that wait it out and have faith that God will still deliver. You know?
Yeah.
It's very few.
On its face, the stuff we've been doing is just plain crazy.
Yeah.
Just plain crazy.
And stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty strong talk for Norwegian.
It's kind of like Noah.
Stupid in the flesh.
Kind of like Noah, right. Yeah, right.
Stupid in the flesh, mighty in the spirit.
He's building this monstrous thing out there in dry land.
For 120 years.
120 years.
You know, God is good. How's about you just make the ark yourself, God?
No kidding.
Well, what's the fun and faith in that?
Well, that's right. Yeah. Still.
But it's Noah that's by faith. And it's like, how does that line up with by faith? You know, when I saw that in Hebrews.
I do think it's fair to say that none of God's works comes quickly. I mean, the 40 years in the desert is another example of
400 years in captivity.
Yeah.
By faith, Noah, being warned of God,
divinely,
of things not seen, okay? So, for 120 years, he's warned of God, and he keeps on building this ark. You know what? That's a lot of time to be ridiculed and while the ark was preparing, and these guys were
preparing the ark,
rough time. Well, Noah, you've been working on it for 119 years. When's something going to happen?
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of thoughts went through his head.
I think God probably waited till he was done. I think he said, well, this could take about 118 years, and then got to start rounding up animals. So I suspect part of that was just as fast as he went. But, I mean, we've been saying, why would God do this if he doesn't have a purpose or a plan for this?
Right.
So however long it takes for the plan to get fully formed before he reveals what that plan is.
Yes, that's right.
Yep.
I think that is true.
Is it Jesus, the one that quotes, he says, by your patience, possess your souls?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And by patience means, you know, endurance and wait. Mm-hmm. By waiting and believing and holding strong while you wait, possess your soul. You know, that's like watering your soul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went.
Mm-hmm.
Had no idea where he's going.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. It says where he looked for a city. And that's the answer.
Yeah.
You look for something.
I saw. Where was that? I was reading. I think it's in 12.
Well, let's say, you know, Corky was talking about how nothing done by God is quick. And that really is true. And yet, there is the scripture that a quick work that he will do, you know, so you wait, long, and then it happens, and quick, you know.
Well, when he does move.
When he does move, it's quick.
Quick. I mean, right. The example we were just talking about, the woman with the blood.
Yeah, right.
I mean, prevailing through this for a long time, and but she had the faith to say, mm-hmm. all I need to do is just touch his garment and I'll be healed. And she was healed instantly.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean,
there's a long time in the flesh or in the natural, right. But supernaturally, yeah. when God moves.
The lead up is long, the fix is quick. Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So, on that, it says for you in Hebrews 12:22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general Lord. Assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, see that you do not refuse him who speaks.
That's Hebrews 12:20, 22, 22, 22, 22, 22, 22, 25. Oh, that really
caught me tonight, too.
That is so excellent.
Yeah, it just boosted my my desire to have faith.
That's right.
He's going to do it.
Right. Yeah, that is...
That's pretty good setting.
Yeah.
26 is when God does something. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, to be ho-hum about Christianity calls for you not to read the Bible, or at least not have it sink in or something.
It's sad in a way.
Yeah,
sad.
Or not to read it with passion for knowledge.
Whatever, yeah. You know, you read the chapter, so you read chapter 12 in Hebrew, and then you read it, you know.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And we've been there. We read it with no purpose.
Then
it doesn't mean anything.
Then kept reading it. 13.
Ouch.
15. And it's talking about when Jesus, it says, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, because he went outside the camp to bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Mm. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, yeah.
You know what? It wouldn't have meant anything to us till we got ready to hear it.
Yeah,
I guess so.
That is exactly right.
Yeah. I just see that there is a fog. There is a fog, and what Revelation is burning off that fog.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And things get clear.
Yeah.
Things that were all foggy.
So it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith is a God-given substance. It's not something that you don't inherit. Your father had it. That doesn't mean you have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I just keep seeing the verses. It's unreal.
It's a God-given something.
Yeah.
But it comes by hearing his word. But just hearing his word don't give you faith. God has to give you faith somehow.
Yeah. You know, he had to have given Moses, but he had to have given Noah faith. He had to have been there, a continuing supply of faith. big shush of faith at the beginning, and then just rely on that for 120 years. I don't see that happening, man. I think it hasn't.
You think after 118 years or 119 years, you'd start wondering, am I really doing this right? Did I hear God? How many more 100 years I got to work on this thing? But I think it's somewhere along the line he kept getting a boost. A boost, yeah. You know, lately I've been wondering if maybe 20 years ago if I didn't hear Jesus.
I don't think it. Well, I don't know.
That doesn't matter.
Maybe it matters, maybe it don't.
But I'm wondering if I didn't hear Jesus.
Uh-huh.
If you want to find me.
The bee has to refer one way or another to...
You gotta look for me where I am.
If it's the Father or the mediator to the Father, I don't know. That at the end, that's a big difference. From our perspective.
Yeah, it's what
for our soul.
It is a message from God in any event.
It's what Paul heard.
Well, even if it was Jesus, he's only doing the Father's will.
Yeah, right.
Speaking what the Father wants him to speak. So
and he's still leading you to who? The Father.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
So I feel like, I don't know, the way you said it when I first heard it, I felt like it was God speaking to you.
Well, I don't know.
To find him, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
If it's an angel, so what? I mean, that is God's messenger.
Yeah.
Right. Well, in the old days, God spoke to the prophets. In the new days, God speaks through his son. So if you heard somebody speaking, it was God through his son.
I don't know.
It was still God. Who cares through how?
Yeah.
It's still God through whoever.
It was enough to be convincing anyway.
Yeah.
It was enough, yeah.
Well, and he backed it up with spirits, this is, you know, I mean.
And I can understand. I can understand Noah in a way. I can understand him a little bit because even you think, well, isn't this enough of this? And then you feel something again, go ahead with some more. And you keep, you know what I mean? It's a strange.
Well, that's just what happened for me tonight. I just got a boost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, when I heard, and the Spirit went, see how long they waited? See how long they waited?
Yeah.
Then I went, yep, okay, I'm all right.
Oh, yeah, whatever you like. Yeah, is this going
on?
Yeah. No. There's something, Keith, that you've been saying about faith. And not that it's wrong. It just, faith comes from hearing. And that's true. Scripture is true. But also, we get faith when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us. So it seems like to me there's just is a little more than just that. You can be in the Word, but if the Spirit doesn't move the Word from letter to life, it doesn't make faith. And so I don't know. I'm not saying anything was wrong. It just seems like there's just another facet to that where, because you need the Spirit to turn Scripture into living water. And you can't, you know, and you have to be in the Word for that to happen, although I do guess that God can do what he wants, even if you're not really, you know, hard in the Word. If you have a good heart, God can come and reveal something to you anyways. But
I think you're right, Corky. Now, understand, you're correcting the Bible. You're not correcting Keith.
I'm trying very carefully not to say that I'm trying to correct. I'm just saying I think there's more. I'm not saying what was said was wrong.
Oh, I think, without the Holy Spirit,
there's more.
It's a dead letter process.
There's more to that whole thing.
I'm not really sure that you're... I understand what you're trying to say.
Do I understand what you're trying to say?
No, I'm not sure that I understand what you're trying to say.
I'm saying the phrase, which is Scripture, faith comes by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take that just by itself, and I'm going, well, that may be true, because Scripture says, but it seems also that while you're in the Word doesn't become alive or the living Word of God without the Holy Spirit revealing what the Word is really saying.
Mm-hmm.
So you can you can be in the Word, but if it's not infused with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not the same impact. My faith is stronger after I get a revelation. I'm still in the Word. I'm still listening to it. But then the Holy Spirit reveals something. My faith has grown because the Holy Spirit has amplified whatever it is going on.
And well, so it's a thin line there because you're still hearing and you're still waiting for the Spirit.
I agree.
But if you say to somebody, well, you just need to listen to the Word. So they go, okay, they get plugged in. Okay, I'm doing what they said. But then I was just thinking, so you could say, well, yeah, they're probably not going to get anything. Then I thought, yeah, but if it's playing all the time, you never know. You know, I mean, then he could use it. But I know what you're kind of implying.
Let me say, though, that that is an admonition to be hearing the Word of God. We don't have to admonish the Holy Spirit. Now, you make sure that you enlighten here when they hear this.
Well,
I mean, that's
and it's not up to us to do anything.
No, it's exactly.
We have no control over that either.
And so, maybe the Scripture wouldn't say, understand, the Spirit. Hey, and Spirit, you get to work too.
It's kind of interesting because there's very few examples in the Scripture that are really simple. Well, I shouldn't say there are very few. When even the disciples say, you are now speaking clearly and we understand. It's not in a parable or it's not wrapped in an enigma. That line is like, hey, even the non-devout, non-spiritual person can hear that and go, oh, well, that's clear enough. But I'm saying, I think, while that's true, there's power in the Spirit in the Word. And for me, when I'm in the Word, and because of that, my faith is being built up. But then the Holy Spirit reveals something to me within that Word that I'm listening to. It's different. I go from faith to faith.
Yeah, I think, but see, if you say, well, by faith I'm going to start listening to the Word, and you're listening to the Word, well, because of that, then the Holy Spirit comes and reveals truth.
Maybe I'm splitting the hair. Just to me.
Yeah.
To me,
I think, it's certainly legitimate to note that the mechanical act of having your eardrums, vibrate with the Word of God, that's not going to be enough.
Well,
it's not going to be enough.
Yeah, I'm trying to avoid saying that because.
Well, it won't be enough.
But that's the whole
thing. I think I understand what you're trying to say. I get it.
But Paul says, well, this tool will be revealed to you.
Yeah. So
to me or you or whatever.
Really all we're saying is, okay, how do you get faith? And we all want faith and we want more faith. We want Christ-like faith. Well, how did he have Christ-like faith? Well, we say he had Christ-like faith, or Christ-like faith was because he had the fullness of God. And how did he have the fullness of God? Because the full measure of the Holy Spirit was active in Christ. Okay, so I'm saying there's faith, and then there's faith that is with the fullness of God, with the Holy Spirit, and it's a different, higher level or more powerful faith.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, you're really not rephrasing anything. You're not really going against anything.
I'm just saying, there's faith from hearing the Word of God, and then there is the faith you get from revelation of the Holy Spirit in the Word. It's like, to me, it's like, is this?
Enhancing faith.
Yeah, my faith is enhanced. My faith is greater. Jesus' faith was greater because he had more of God. Or the Holy Spirit working with him.
Right. So let me. So could this faith comes by hearing? Could I rephrase it? Because the Holy Spirit led you into hearing God's word, your faith increases.
And the Holy Spirit is going to be enlightening.
Right.
Put shining the flashlight on it while you're doing the hearing.
Right. Yeah. But faith comes by hearing God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're saying, well, so you can actually hear it and not get faith. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I wouldn't want to, because that's a good scripture, but I'd say...
No, but see, you could like, hear it as in a, like a gimmick.
Well, that's what...
You know what I mean?
If, for example, if you are listening to the Word of God, but you're not doing it with a good heart, somebody somewhere told you, put a Bible cassette on, turn it on, and just have it run. And if you do that, you're good. You're, because you are listening to the Word of God. You go, well, what's his heart? How is God, what, you know, the heart's not quite right there. It's kind of like he's doing it out of obedience, not because he doesn't have a heart for the truth.
Yeah.
And what's different? Is that fertile ground or not fertile ground? Will God not honor that?
Yeah, no, I totally get it.
Say that, though, Corky, because at least in my case, some of it was very akin to what you're describing. Mm-hmm. Well, I was instructed to be listening to the Bible, so okay, I will do that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, you know, it was in some kind of sense. We're talking about 20 years here now, but
I know it is. I understand. See, I couldn't really understand.
But see, my wife tells me that all the time. What do you say? Yeah. You make no sense at all.
Because see the parable of the sword, there was people that heard the word.
Yeah, that's right.
And it wasn't fruitful, so they did mm-hmm. not get faith.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's
so
right.
So you actually, in fact, you can hear the word and not get faith.
Yeah.
You can. However, the only but if you want faith, you will only get it through God's word, though.
Yeah,
so however, you can get God's word and not get faith.
I think those two need to be put together: the parable of the sower, along with faith comes by hearing.
But
I was going to wait.
By leaving the word alone,
Is
that going to help us?
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
the sower's got to sow.
Bill was saying you had to have the word to hear.
Yeah.
Right. You have to have the word.
You don't get 60, 80, 100 fold with no seed.
No.
Exactly. It's kind of like if you don't start with this, you're not going anywhere.
Right. You know, and it's funny, like, I bet you at some point, though, really quickly after you went, well, I guess I'll, you probably went, same as I did, well, how could it hurt to hear that? Well, right there. Then your either heart or your faith or whatever changed.
But I cannot describe it as a real spiritual side of the
Well,
it was pretty natural, pretty mechanical.
But shortly after that,
I'm going to do what I'm told to do, I guess.
But not too long after that, it was like, hey, I was reading here, and did you see this?
Yeah, it's like that only took 15 years, right?
Boy, no.
You know what happened to me is I felt bad because I went, I'm working, I'm on the road, and I go, well, I can't listen all the time. And so I'd be going along, and I go, but I'll stick it in right now for 15 minutes between towns, you know. And you know what? He'd bless me.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd give me a little tidbit that said, see, you were hearing my word, you know, and then I'd be, and then slowly it was a little more often, and
you know, when I first started listening, I did not start listening with the intention of increasing my faith.
No,
I didn't know that God's word, listen to it or taking it in, reading it, whatever, eating it would increase my faith. In fact, it was years until I felt that my faith was increasing. Mm. I would say maybe even recently in the last 20% of my time.
These meetings help.
Huh?
These meetings help.
Yeah. That was my intention. All of a sudden I realized things, and then God gave me the, you know, the gift of the law, the truth, and then, honestly, there was a hunger. But I never thought, hey, that increased my faith. I never realized.
No, I never thought of it as getting faith at first. I just thought, well, I'm hearing it because it's the Word of God and it should be good.
And meanwhile, here's this old guy over there putting another nail in the heart.
But to Charlie's point, these meetings are good because as we come and we share what God has given us, we are prophesizing to each other, which is allowing more revelation to come, and it comes a little quicker. Yeah. Because God is only working with this imperfect vessel, and he's got lots of roadblocks to revelations that, luckily for me, you don't have the same roadblock, and you can see this and share this, which makes it easier for me to get rid of that little roadblock, or ask for repentance a little quicker in this area, or gradually acknowledge that the sin is remaining because I'm refusing to be honest with myself before God, which allows me to grow my faith because he's growing in me.
This whole thing is so good for anybody listening.
Anyways, okay, see, now, so let's say I listen to, I'm throwing this out there, let's say I listen to the word from 5 to 6, but my faith might increase at midnight. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be between 5 to 6. Because because now the word is in me, it's food.
It's never void.
It's doing this thing. And then the Holy Spirit at midnight increases my faith.
Sure.
So I could actually not be listening to the Bible or reading it while my faith is being increased. Especially like in a meeting, for example. Sure. For example. Because, you know, it says, you know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You know, so we've all got the Word of God in us. And then that's when the Spirit can work. Now, I don't know if I'm exaggerating or taking things out of context, but if you don't have the Word of God in you, I don't even know how much the Holy Spirit can do. Or it can work just with no sword. You know what I mean?
Well, you need the Word for for confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need... That's not the right word. The Spirit deals with you or something, but he confirms it with the Word.
Yeah. It is the food that we digest, you know. It is. And you're not going to get nourishment without that food in you. Not that you need to be eating 24 hours a day.
That's where people have failed. They got these cockeyed ideas in their head, and then there's no scripture to prove it, but they think, well, they just heard from God.
I think the word you're looking for is, we use the word for discernment for truth.
Yeah.
I think that's what I think you were trying to say. Not to put words in your mouth, but, I mean, we use the word to make sure that what is being brought is accurately of God's word.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't see us when somebody brings something. Let's say Charlie says, you know, A, B, C, D, E. Oh, let me look at that. Yes, Charlie. You know what I mean? We're not doing this. We're not examining, because we all have the Word in us. We all have the Spirit in us. I don't even know why I'm saying that. Because of what you said. To confirm or whatever. It's like, we don't have, because we're all basically the same page, we don't have to double check.
Yeah.
We don't, or go reference or the word.
Fact check the scripture.
I mean.
Well, but I've noticed that someone will say something, or in a scripture, and then someone reads it a little before and after and go, well, you know, I think there's a little more being said here.
Yeah.
You know? And it kind of straightens it out a little more, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what's been good.
I think Pablo is right, though. There is such a thing as being infused with the Word. And so, hopefully, you know, what we bring is Word-infused stuff.
Right.
I would hope.
It is.
You know.
Yeah. And to your point, though, I totally agree with the comment that we're not, you know,
cross-referencing.
But I do think what happens is we are sharing and we're listening, and if it doesn't feel like it lines up with scriptures, we understand it, then we kind of all pause and go, well, was that an accurate representation of scripture? I mean, we, you know,
and we check our Bibles,
and we go to the Bible,
and we all, I mean, we kind of test it. But I mean, we're not like, and thankfully for in my case, you're not hanging everywhere. No, Quirky, that was wrong, and this is going wrong.
Well, you know,
Brother Charlie said, "No, not Second Corinthians, even First Corinthians."
Right.
Sunday.
I don't
thank you.
What's happening? In this group, none of us have like different beliefs. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that's
okay, true.
You know what I mean? We all believe the same thing now, but our sometimes our mouths and our brains don't, you know, a little bit here and there, and then we help get everything with the right words.
Right, yeah. But we are not clones.
Yeah.
You know, we're not exact.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So yeah, we don't have. You don't believe something that I don't believe, or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
We don't. We all believe the same.
We're getting better.
Right.
We're getting better.
Yeah. I think.
Well, as we've noted, the Gospels don't always seem to agree with each other 100% of the time either,
mm-hmm.
and we're left to assume that those differences, while they may appear to be factual, are not eternal.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's there when you mention clones, but. The Bible says we have one mind.
Well, it's funny. I was just thinking,
that doesn't mean you are clones.
No.
Yeah.
But I think we are in the process of becoming one mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I think we are.
And we refine ourselves off of each other. And that was what I mean by.
Sure.
But, you know, back in the day, we would just go, well, that's what our church believes, and that's what I believe. You know, and you become a clone.
Exactly.
You know,
I think we are.
Right.
I don't get it. We are becoming. I think we are one mind today. For example, I'm making this up. If I'm doing something and somebody wants to know something spiritual, I will have no problem saying, "Hey, you know, just go talk to Charlie. I'm busy." You know what I mean? He'll tell you exactly what I would tell you, or to any of you guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I will have no problem. I'm, you know, if I have was tied up or my mouth was shut, I'll go to him. He will tell you exactly what I would. You know what I mean? One time, Candy asked me about some situation, some girl or whatever. And she said, "Pablo, he says, what do you think about that?" He says, "Exactly what you're thinking." No, I don't want to go into details. Exactly what I mean. But I think that's the key. I think we are one mind. I don't think we should put ourselves short. We are.
Well, there's a scripture.
We're not all perfect. We're not perfect, but we are the same mind.
There's a scripture. And this is what's going to happen to us. There's a scripture that says, "Who had known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him?" And it says, "But we have the mind of Christ." And that will slowly happen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Until we do have that mind, or that it was in Christ.
I can confirm that with Scripture.
I think that will be true.
I love reading Scripture lately. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight." How? "Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's the Christ-like, you know.
Yeah. Having his mind.
That Keith just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus.
Oh, I want to be that complete in will and whatever it is.
Yes.
Easy to say, hard to do.
Hard to wait for.
Is it hard to wait? Well, we should be impatient. We should be, you know, that's a right to be impatient. And yet there is an unfolding according to his schedule that I think we are patient for.
Yeah,
I think we are.
Yes.
You know, in one sense we are impatient. In another, we're content.
Well, it's like you're kind
doing
of groaning
it
for it.
Yeah, right.
You know, rather than maybe impatient.
I've been reached out by someone saying, "Please ask Ken or Keith the name of the Bible they have with many translations."
I don't have one with many translations.
Not vouching for the accuracy of the statement. Keith, what's the name of the Bible that you have that's got like 8 translations in it?
A translation Bible.
Something a little more specific.
There's wisdom.
There you go. There's a man been listening to the word day and night for years.
Here it is. It's Corky's phone is what it is.
Yeah, right. That's Corky's. That's got more than 8 credits. Like
yeah.
That's Corky's
got
phone.
Like 20. It's the app on Corky's phone they want.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'm very impressed with that app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is that, that Bible called?
This one is called the Evangelical Parallel New Testament.
Parallel New Testament. So meaning they're given parallel translations. I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. It's glad 8 of them.
Yeah.
I've got one at home. I like it.
Is every verse gives?
It's the New Testament. It's the New Testament.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. It's good. Eight translations.
Eight. You think it would be a lot thicker than that?
You think so? That's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
The writing is small.
But then again, that is just the New Testament.
Yeah. Right. And the pages,
which
right.
is the smaller portion.
Oh, it
of
is.
The original
by
Bible.
By far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's I like it though. I go to it fairly often.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, Keith,
four to know anyway.
You got any more there?
Kim.
Oh, Kim.
No, it's the other way.
Well, you know, faith comes by hearing, and then by the word of God, and so forth. I was sent down to the Seattle Center to hear Herbert Murmuth, and I didn't know him from anybody. I didn't know nothing about him. And so I heard his testimony and how he had got filled with the Holy Spirit, and which I didn't even know the scriptures behind it. I knew nothing. And so he was telling what had happened, how he had prayed for the sick and God was healing him, and how he had raised a woman from the dead, and got, which caused him to lose his church. And so I'm hearing this crazy, strange thing for the first time. Now, this thing, now this is all the first time I've ever heard it. And anyway, faith came. Faith came, without me knowing nothing about it. And so he says, does anybody here want to receive the Holy Spirit? I didn't look around and see if anybody else raised their hand or not. Mm-hmm. I raised my hand. The next thing I knew, there's a guy, a young guy. I was young then, you know. A young guy came and he sat down right alongside of me and he put his hand on me. That's the last I could remember for about 2 hours. I got zapped good. And anyway, after... And I looked around and everybody was gone. And this guy was gone. You know. Mm. He gave up. Mm. And anyway, I couldn't even stand. I couldn't talk in English. I just talking or something or other. And so finally, and I had to have Joanne drive home because I couldn't even drive the car. And we're downtown Seattle. And we lived in Des Moines. So it was a 20-mile trip. And anyway, that was by initiation. But anyway, the point was, I didn't even know the scripture. I heard this thing, and faith came, and next thing I knew, I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I knew nothing about it. So then I got Scott and Bonnie were over a stewardship drive in the church. Whatever that meant. I meant to increase their funds, I guess. And nobody would help them not, so I told them, I said, I will, I hope that. And so, this is a couple nights after I get filled with the Spirit. What do you think I'm going to, do you think I'm going to be able to talk to them about stewardship? So after about an hour of, about receiving the Holy Spirit and what had happened to me, Scott says, why would we forget about stewardship? He says, let's sit down at a table they were building our house at the time, or in his garage. And so that night, after we talked about it, they were just all excited, you know. Bonnie, before she woke up in the morning, she got filled with the Spirit. She was speaking, woke up speaking in tongues. And she didn't know nothing about it either. And Scott did later on, and of course Joanne did driving the car. So,
never was there a less successful stewardship drive.
Right. We never did continue on with that, so I don't know.
Yeah, I always struggle. God can do anything, and so even though someone might not be overly in the Word, he can get you.
You know, it is a good principle that faith comes by hearing God's word. Well, that is a good principle.
Well,
now, does it bind him to in each instance and all occasions?
Does it limit him?
Right.
But we begin to understand what that word is. Mm-hmm. The word of God is perfect. Psalm 19:7. The word of God is perfect. The word of God is perfect. The word of God is perfect. Just that much of it should do something to us. The word of God is perfect. It's perfect, converting the soul.
Well, but
so there's a principle.
How long had you been saved between then and when you went to that meeting?
A long time.
And you'd been in the Word the whole time, though.
A lot of it.
Well, I mean, because you said when you got saved, you just got you immediately was in the Word all the time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in that regard, you're still hearing the Word of God. I mean, if you're reading it with a heart that has a hunger.
With a good heart, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
so faith was being built.
Right.
You know,
for the parable.
One thing, faith comes by hearing God's Word, and we cannot limit God to do whatever He wants, however He wants to win me.
Right.
However, the thief on the cross or whatever, there's God always has exceptions for everything. Because, right? But we know that faith comes by hearing God's word. So let's say there's a one in a million exception of how you can get faith. Well, let's not have the devil use that exception to say, you know what? Mm-hmm. No more word. I'll go with the exception.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Or even bring it up to other people. Oh, yeah, you can get faith lots of ways because there's one person in the Bible this, another person in the Bible this.
Yes.
But those are exceptions.
That's the right way of thinking.
You know what I mean?
And then the New Covenant. And this is the thing that I hope it's having the same impact on you guys as it is on me, which is in Hebrews 8, where he says that... He's going to write, I have a new covenant with us, where he's going to write the laws on our minds and in our hearts. Well, is that what's happening?
I believe it is.
Is his word being written inside of us?
Mm-hmm.
And so, who's doing that? We're not doing it to each other. Who's doing it?
God, you know what?
God himself is writing it.
That thief had some faith.
Some, right.
Because it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is.
Right.
So he heard enough faith to say, Jesus, let me be with you.
Right. See, and we think, and we're going back to the same thing, keep talking all these times, but we think because the thief was a thief in the cross, we think that he wasn't a faithful man. But if we were punished earthly for all of our issues, we will all be thieves on the cross.
Right.
Me, you know what I mean?
Just a different title than thief.
Right. Well, right. We will be the winner.
Very possibly he heard Jesus ministering here.
Yeah.
Maybe the theft would have occurred before.
Maybe he was one of the disciples. He could have been a disciple.
Well, he could have been sitting there because he was going to go to the... being crucified and hearing all that they were saying about Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he could have been in that whatever group of hearing.
It gives us, if we get it accurate, it gives us a picture that at some point he was ridiculing Jesus right along with
him. Right.
It's almost like a faith instant came.
Yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden you know.
Okay, yes, but everyone disregarded Jesus. Everyone. So the thief on the cross wasn't the exception either. You know, Peter.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus all denied him. Jesus died on the cross alone. So this thief on the cross could have very well been disciple number 13, and he just stole something, someplace. And they just crucified him.
You're making a great point, Pablo. It is an assumption that people make.
Yeah.
That this person was a bad person and had no redeeming factors. And at the very last moment before he was going to die, he said, oh, wait, I better pull the ripcord and throw a Hail Mary and say, Lord, I believe you. And he says, you'll be in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, because I think about that, I can't tell you the number of people who sort of know their scriptures, and they're hanging their salvation on that.
Right.
They're hanging their salvation on that very fact. If that person at the last moment says, I was wrong, his grace is going to cover me, and they're making the assumption that he was just a horrible person, we don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know he might have been actually
quite a
holy man that was called a thief.
Yeah.
He stole from the church coffers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the enemy uses that.
We can't pass any good. Right?
No.
Yeah, but
no.
But people make that and they use that.
He was an evil person.
They use that to not.
Now, in Luke 23, it says, and we indeed, you know, he's talking to the other thieves. It says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So
he did in fact stole.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's another.
It probably was from the Roman aspect. And they just had set laws. You get caught stealing, you get crucified.
Right. And you get caught. And how many people didn't get caught?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And anyways, and not everyone has the luxury to know that they're gonna be dying pretty soon.
I've got about 30 minutes here. I've been making some decisions.
Right? No,
that's a great point.
So the thief on the cross, that's not a life like a lifeline or whatever you call it. It's not a thing.
I've heard many people who don't want to walk the walk.
Yeah,
they don't want to be a James Christian.
Yeah,
you know, faith without works.
Right.
I mean, you. How are you going to be separate unless you make sacrifices? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to. There's a sacrifice involved there.
Yeah.
To some extent.
And sacrifice. It's just sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's not really sacrifice.
It's funny because it is a very good life.
Yeah.
There are sacrifices, but it is a very good life.
Yeah.
A different kind of life would be not nearly as fulfilling, you know, whatever.
We wouldn't know what to do with it now.
Right.
Who do we want?
With a different kind of life.
Different kind of life.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, and you're right, Pablo, that's a bad word, sacrament. People who
don't know.
Have choices of not giving up fleshly things.
See, that's a big mistake that the church preaches. It's like, you want to find God? Give up. Give up. Give everything up so you can come to God. Absolutely biggest mistake. Come to God the nastiest, dirtiest possibly.
Right.
That's what Jesus is after. And you don't have to clean up to come to God. You come to God. No.
Well, you can't clean up enough.
No. Yeah. You come to God and He'll clean you up. And maybe, you know what? Maybe He'll keep you nasty until you die. Who cares? Yeah. Just come to God. Let Him do whatever He wants. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the Lord responded to your prayer.
Actually, let's say to His prayer.
Those are His words. Well, I thank Him.
Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's what I learned of you. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Mm.
That's what he asked him.
you know, that's kind of a good example that, you know, you can get influenced by man and lose part of the gospel, and then you need somebody to come like Paul and say, hey, foolish one, stop and think about how you got where you are. Was it by listening to a man? No. You know, it was by faith, you know, that you received the Holy Spirit. And I know that I feel like the Galatians came around then. He corrected them, and I think they responded, you know.
Well, we still have the letter.
Yeah.
So they didn't throw the waste paper at it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I because he knew they were just a little off because they'd gotten influenced, you know.
Sure.
And needed to come back and hear the true gospel again, and then I'm sure that caused their responses to go back to what they originally had, you know, and continue. So there's always hope. Well, that's the part about getting chastised, you know. If you respond to it correctly, you can be made whole, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And walk in it.
Yep. Yep.
You know, although in all fairness, the New Covenant was asking her to throw away about 1,000 years of tradition.
Yeah, right. True.
Hey, forget everything your great grandpappies did. They were all wrong. Got a new way.
And you know, though, there's an aspect in there that I brought it up and we've all mentioned it. But it seems like they kept something and Paul was all right. I mean, like they kept certain... But I think if they kept certain things, it was because they kept them unto the Lord. You know, I think a lot of them still didn't want to eat pig and whatever, and you know, but they had a different reason for not wanting to. You know, it wasn't just to follow it because the law said don't do it. They just didn't want to do it because they felt that they were better not doing it. You know.
Yeah. In the book of Acts, it talks about that they had a meeting as to what kind of rules should we be imposing. And they came up with don't eat strangled,
right.
Don't eat blood, or, you know, drink there were those blood. Things, yeah. You know, that no, they no. listed. And I think those are things that Noah
and rules. Don't eat cow's udders and stuff.
You can even buy them in here.
That's a delicacy in Chile.
Yeah. Oh, delicious. the best.
But it was almost like that was their, that was a little more towards the Gentiles, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They had to work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It just seems
and the problem arose when the Jews were insisting that the Gentiles engage in it. Jews go ahead and do it themselves if they want. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. But why would they when the Lord said, showed Peter that he could eat anything?
That's right.
But, you know, it's kind of like...
That vision means something.
Well, if you just don't want it, fine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But don't make it a spiritual thing.
Well...
In a sense.
True.
There were so many things like that incident. There were so many things that were set up ahead of time that God purposely meant to change. And the Jews would not eat pork.
Right.
You know. And so here Peter is given this vision. And all it is to show us that God has included the Gentiles. I mean, that's what that whole vision was about. That whole experience. Mm-hmm. And so... But later on, Paul admonishes Peter, and he said, if you being a Jew, live as do the Gentiles, why are you trying to make the Gentiles live like the Jews? You know, it's like, but that's human nature.
And then what did Jesus say? It doesn't matter what you take in, it gets eliminated. It's what comes out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Is what defiles you.
So he goes down,
you know.
He gives this fantastic revelation in the fourth chapter of John to a Samaritan woman. I mean, there is not anything in there that makes any sense. You know,
according to the culture,
to anybody, and to me too as well. And so that's not who he was. That's not who the Jews were. And so he spends 2 days down in Samaria. And then, and this is a thing that I told Brian this several times. The Samaritan men said to this woman, they said, "When you told us about who this man was, we believed you. But now we really believe because we've heard him ourselves." And I, you know, I've used that in relationship to us listening to the Word of God. Now we believe because we hear him ourselves. Now we believe instead of listening to Don Burnett's rendition, now we're listening to the Scriptures. Don Burnett says he has a dual nature. I didn't find nothing in the Scriptures that tells me he has a dual nature. I do always speak those things that the Father tells me to say, you know. I do always do the things that please my Father. Dual nature? I don't think so.
It's amazing how hard man has gone to deny that the Father can give you the power to do miracles.
Yeah. God, that should have known better. Should have known better. But, you know, you should know better. You know, he said, now he's talking as man. Here he's talking as God. Now he's talking as man. Now, come on. Don't you, you've had experience with the Holy Spirit, Don Burnett? You know, what, you know something, you don't know something, and then a minute later you know it. That's just exactly what Jesus was going on with Jesus.
And it is.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
And I know that was the lie that the devil told me for a while, you know, when I was not saved. Was, well, you can't be like Jesus. He was God, so why even try?
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah, I've been there, done that.
You know, oh, follow Jesus. Oh, you can't. He's God. You know, you'll never do it, live up to that.
How many people do you suppose right now feel that way?
Oh, I know that because I got it from being in the Lutheran church, you know. That was the implication that was being made without really always coming out and saying it, you know. It gave you an excuse kind of to only be so good.
Yeah, you could have been a Catholic and buy your way out of trouble.
Yeah. But that was behind their thing too, though. You know?
Yeah. Well, you were never going to be as good as
Christ.
Yeah. So all you could do is just
penance.
Pray and repent. And
give penance.
And give.
And sacrifice yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you suppose there's forgiveness for a little 5-year-old that takes all his brother's pennies? You suppose, Chuck?
I suppose.
We come in there one day and him and Brian had piggy banks. And Brian's piggy bank was empty and Chuck had only the pennies in his.
Oh.
That wasn't very nice. Hey,
I was a kid.
that was cute. Well, I didn't have very many, he says.
Yeah. I guess it makes a certain amount of sense, Chuck.
Yeah. I keep asking Chuck spiritual questions. We were talking about that earlier, and he knows a lot of answers to these things. You know, I asked him something today, and it's surprising what he has retained somehow. You know.
Yeah. That's what's surprising to me. God is working. God is working. All the time.
Should we say?
I think there is a big difference between what Chuck knows and what Chuck says.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes. And what, how he would maybe communicate to that to us versus what is in Chuck's heart.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We're the ones that have got this very narrow perception of what this, things are on track or not.
Yep.
From God's perspective, just nailing it.
Mm-hmm.
Could be just nailing it. We're way behind Chuck.
Well.
And God's on track eventually.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, Shelley.
Whoever else is here.
Whoever else.
Yes. Now the good stuff.
Okay, we love you. I can't even try to turn it off.
I gotta see if I can do it right.
It's black.
Yeah, it's always black.